As I said, these are monthly phone calls that are focused on different issues. Tonight, I'm very, very excited that Lori Kamala and Jen Piper are going to be speaking about Sanctuary Everywhere, which is a new initiative that really refers to making a safe space for as many people as we can on the streets and off the streets, and supporting many people who are going to be targeted. And have been targeted, but are also going to be more targeted in this administration. I'd like to start with a moment of silence, which is a practice that Quakers have to sort of center and come into the space. I know they're going to be in the background, but please try to maintain the silence as we go forward, and then we'll do a roll call in just a second. So we'll have just a moment of silence. Great, thank you.
The conference has been unmuted.
So to start out, we'd love to have a sense of who is in the room, so to speak. And so it would be wonderful to just do it by region of the country. So what I'm going to do is just invite people who live in Northeast states to say, I'm here, we're here, so we can hear your voices to start out. And then we'll go around the country and see if there's anybody internationally. And then I'll mute you all again. To unmute yourself, you can do *7. To mute yourself, do *6. But I will also mute you with the controls here. So who's on the call from the Northeast?
I am. I'm
here.
I'm here.
Me too.
I am.
Hi.
Welcome. Okay, to hear your voices. And who is here from Southern State?
We're here. I'm here. North Carolina. Miami.
Wonderful. Great to hear so many North Carolinians. Who is here from the Southwest? Go ahead, just say that you're here. You're here from the Southwest.
Colorado's here.
That's the Southwest.
Yeah.
Colorado.
Great. Colorado.
Wonderful. And who's here from the Midwest?
Ohio.
Yeah. Ohio.
Minnesota.
Michigan.
Ohio.
Carlina.
Chicago. Chicago.
Another Ohio.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Great. And who is here from the Northwest?
Here.
Montana.
Oregon.
Wonderful. And who is here from the far west, from California? And I'm Byron.
Here.
Anybody here from California?
Los Angeles.
Wonderful. Terrific. Well, wonderful to hear all your voices. I'm going to mute you all just so that we can hear it. And I want to let you know that we're recording this call so that we can share it with others, so others can benefit from it. We also
the conference has been muted.
We're also going to be tweeting this and live tweeting it as we go along with the call. So you can look at those tweets or look at them. If you're on a phone, you can look at those tweets. You can also tweet questions as we go. And the handle is at AFSC/org. Lori and Piper, if you can unmute yourself, that would be great. And then we'll get started. So this idea, I'm going to introduce Piper and Lori. The idea for Sanctuary Everywhere is sort of originated from, I think, a conversation that Lori had. And after the election, I was walking through 30th Street Station, and I envisioned what the post-inauguration state would be. And not to say that people aren't haven't been getting targeted for a long time, but I really had a sense of that people would, there would be a higher, much heightened police presence, more militarized police, and that there would be, you wouldn't be able to walk through such public spaces without people being harassed or accosted and witnessing that. And it frightened me. And I had a conversation with Lori and with Piper, about, the growing number of meetings who are willing to offer sanctuary, become sanctuary churches. And Lori talked about this concept of sanctuary everywhere, of making, of interrupting, harassment, of doing bystander intervention, of really thinking about making, creating a whole bunch of a community of people that are creating safety for others, recognizing the way that people are going to be targeted in a heightened way, and really sort of building the capacity to do that work. And it made me feel much less frightened, and like I could be a part of a community that was serving in that role. And Piper's going to talk a little bit more about that idea and the depth of that idea in terms of what we're trying to do in terms of being there for one another and there for people who are going to be most impacted by harsh policies and who are already impacted by them. So go ahead, Piper. It's star 7 to unmute.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay. I was pushing star 6. I'm so glad you said that. Good evening, everyone. My name is Jennifer Piper. I'm the interfaith organizer here in the Colorado office for the American Friends Service Committee. And one of the jobs that I have is the honor of having is help coordinating the Metro Denver Sanctuary Coalition. So that's a coalition of 7 congregations that are doing more sort of the traditional, which seems weird to say about sanctuary, but the traditional thing that people think of when they think of sanctuary in terms of hosting someone who is undocumented or fleeing for their life in a church in order that they can survive, stay with their family, or reach a place of safety. We're not going to talk a lot about that sort of traditional idea of sanctuary on this call, because out of that and the work that AFSC has done across the country for a long time now, there's kind of this growing idea of how do we create a similar space outside of our buildings? How do we create the culture of sanctuary everywhere and at all levels and be respond to that call? So one of the most powerful things about the experience of doing sanctuary, that sort of more traditional sanctuary here in Denver, has been that discovery that the most powerful thing about sanctuary is not the building. It's the feeling of not being alone, of having a community that is committed no matter what happens, no matter how long it takes, that no matter what, we are there for each other. And we will step up when something happens. We know who we can call. And that's a transformative experience for both the communities of faith and the impacted communities that we're working with, although sometimes they're the same. It's not as black and white of a division as that. But that's sort of the discovery we made as we started doing that work together, is that the most powerful experiences are taking that culture of sanctuary out and into the streets. So the idea really came from post-elections all around AFSC. We started getting way more calls from people who had not been active, who have been inactive, even our members who are really active right now, both from impacted communities and from allies. And we're seeing a ton of energy to stand up, and to stand up in ways that are meaningful, not only symbolic, but also meaningful and concrete. And seeing a lot of energy from communities that are traditionally targeted in the U.S. to stand up for each other, and not only to focus on the struggles that directly impact their community or our community, but to stand up in solidarity with other communities. And we received all these requests really asking for tangible examples of how to do stuff on the ground, what policy should I take to my city council person, what is a good way to intervene when I'm a bystander, and how do I turn that into something that's sustainable, that doesn't just interrupt that moment but creates relationship and resistance. What we're hoping to do together across the country is to maintain the ground that we've won, to continue to push the envelope, make sure that we can share information and strategies in places where laws aren't that great, and provide anyone who's energized in this moment with resources and ways to engage, to really put kind of cull the best vetted resources and put them in the hands of folks who want to do something right now and try to create something that gives momentum and permission to all of us who are trying to move forward into something new or into something deeper in this moment. So I was so excited when I saw an email from Lori in North Carolina come across my inbox talking about this idea of sanctuary everywhere. And I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to her to talk about what's been useful about the frame and the response they've had.
Thanks, Piper. Can you hear me?
Yep.
Okay, great. thanks, Lucy and Piper. This is Lori Fernald Kamala. I am a native North Carolinian and here now as the program director for our North Carolina Immigrant Rights Program of the American Friends Service Committee. And I think Piper just expressed everything really well. We had some very similar experiences in the wake of the election. Folks were looking for ways to connect, and we were looking for ways to bring people into this struggle. And one of the things I think that we also thought about was, you know, how can we bring folks into this movement at whatever level they're ready to connect at? People come at this from so many different levels and so many different experiences, and we really wanted to think about ways that anyone can get engaged at any whatever their level of experience is, wherever they're willing to work, whether it's within a church building or whether it's in the streets or at their school. We knew that a few congregations were interested in more of the traditional sanctuary of actually housing families at risk, but we know also that most faith groups won't be able to do that, and that's not even right for every family who may be facing deportation, and it is an extremely long struggle to be able to get to that point in many cases. So we've started thinking about who is being targeted and how can we really broaden this concept of sanctuary from beyond a building to, just like Piper said, create that culture of sanctuary, that feeling of not being alone, that community of people creating safety for others wherever we are. So we are really, when we started talking about this in North Carolina, we knew we wanted to create something that was really intersectional. We're definitely seeing how undocumented folks are very clearly going to be targeted through the promise of mass deportations, the ending of the Deferred Action Program. We know that folks in the Muslim community are going to be targeted with threats of a Muslim registry and other things. We know that Black communities are going to continue to be targeted through the promise of broad-based stop and frisk policing that will primarily impact African American communities. We know that the LGBT communities will continue to be impacted. So we really wanted to think about something that was intersectional and say that we're all in this together, and it's not just, you know, I think a lot of times what I have observed personally is that even in the wake of the election, I've had a lot of, there's been a lot of white folks who are ready to be more engaged around immigrant issues. But at the same time, we want to make sure that we're not just, that as white allies, we're not just engaging with immigrant struggles, because it's easier than engaging on the prison or the school-to-prison pipeline and issues that traditionally affect Black communities. So we really want to ensure that we're really out to protect all of our community, not just the segments that are easier. We wanted to create something that was more, that was very accessible, as I mentioned, from lots of different levels and that works in lots of different spheres. And that is some projects and a system that works for directly impacted folks as well as allies. I know that, you know, we had sort of imagined this idea of yard signs that were going to be in, you know, any house of worship or any home who was really wanted to stand up for others that said sanctuary, which actually we now have a design of this yard sign. But we also realized that's not, that's certainly not where we wanted to stop at all. We want to really look at policies. And what we started hearing a lot from parents at schools, that kids were getting targeted by other kids, maybe if they were undocumented or perceived to be Latino, then they were hearing things from other schoolmates about being sent back to Mexico or other things like that. So we also want to make sure we're creating safety and security within schools. This is all evolving. So that's how the concept sort of came up, like looking at the concept of sanctuary, this community of people creating safety for others. But we want to do that everywhere, not just in the traditional faith house. We want to see that everywhere. In Greensboro, North Carolina, where our office is here, we have formed a steering committee of folks who are directly impacted by some of these policies that we're anticipating. And then there's also a larger community group of allies. But our hope is that a lot of the work will be directed by some of the directly impacted individuals so that we can create solutions that really work for the community. I think this has been a useful frame for us because it sort of signals how we want to care for and protect each other, yet it also demonstrates that it's a broader concept. We really want to emphasize that the similarity, that people's struggles are parallel, and that we're stronger when we stand together and stand up for each other. So we certainly don't have all the answers yet, but we're experimenting and feeling around in the dark, and we want to ideally just create a container that can be shaped and adapted to local needs, because we know every local context is so different. We in North Carolina, here we are in the South, and it is just a completely different landscape than, you know, what folks are dealing with maybe in Massachusetts or in California. So every place is going to have its own particular needs. But, you know, just in the last few days, I've heard from people in three other cities who are seeking support for sanctuary-type policies, either at the city level within congregations or other places. So we're hoping to create this container and resources that folks will really be able to use. So let's see. I think I'll turn it back to Piper, and we can go into a little bit more what we've got in mind.
Thanks, Lori. So when we started building out this resource, it's a living resource. It's online, and part of what we'll be doing later in the call is talking about what resonates with you and what's missing and what would be useful to all of you. And that's an invitation that will continue after this call. But we really wanted to look and cull resources both from AFSC and from our partner organizations around the country, tools for self-defense and for advocacy. So we really wanted to take a look and make sure that we were creating a space where anyone of any identity who wanted to show up and start working could or deepen the work or find a tool they were missing, which is the piece I'm most excited about selfishly, could go to this place and start there. So what we've done is reached out across our organization to the four different areas we worked on, and started asking folks for the best, the model policy that they go to when they're trying to advocate with their city council, the most accessible Know Your Rights materials that they've found for communities when interacting with police or law enforcement, federal or local. What's the tips that we should all have in mind when we're trying to intervene in oppression, when we see it happening on an interpersonal level? So from individual up to policy, what are the best jumping off places? And we want to recognize that we're all benefiting from the work of communities of resistance across the country for decades now, that they have been putting together and we have been putting together and pushing the envelope. And what we've tried to do is take all of that knowledge and energy and put it in one place so that we can move forward from that place together wherever we live across the country. And so the list of things and the way we've organized is what we've thought was most useful in this moment. And we hope that after leaving the call, you feel the permission to go there and just take the stuff and use it. And that what we recognize about this moment in time is all of these policies we're confronting, most of them have been in motion for a while, but they might start moving faster, or there might be multiple people, multiple communities experiencing much harsher rhetoric or effects of those policies at the same time. So we want folks to feel like they can grab their resources and add to the chorus of people who are pushing still for policies that liberate across the areas we work on. So we hope that when you leave here, you'll feel that you can contact us for some support and guidance when you need it, and that you'll let us know how you're using the resources when you have time. But really what we hope they do is get used. So, and I think because there's so much going on, we really hope that this also enables, like, I work on immigrant rights, but I care deeply about many other communities I'm connected to. And my hope for this is that allows me to be able to do more work than I usually would be able to on some of these other areas, and that allows all of us to be closer and growing the beloved community we want to live in as we're moving forward together. So I think that's, I know we've given a long intro, but we wanted to give the context for how we got to this place and what our intentions were in creating it. And I think now Lori will kind of guide us through, okay, what are we actually talking about and how can you access it?
Yeah, so for now, Sanctuary Everywhere is a website, which you can all get to at affsc.org/sanctuaryeverywhere. And it's intended to be really a clearinghouse of ideas, of model policies, toolkits. Like Piper mentioned, a lot of the stuff that we've gleaned that's been the most useful, it will continue to grow. Right now, it's in the categories of schools, materials for K-12 schools, college campuses, sanctuary in the streets, which includes Know Your Rights information, bystander intervention information for allies, sanctuary in congregations, and sanctuary in the city, which includes things like some policies of different cities have adopted. Most of our materials are borrowed from other groups because there's so much great stuff out there. But what we were noticing is that you kind of have to poke around to find each thing. So we wanted to sort of centralize it all so that folks who are interested in this can just go to one place. So we're really excited to be able to collaborate with lots of other groups who are working on this stuff. And we are really excited to share your materials and your successes and your lessons learned, and especially your new and creative and out-of-the-box ideas and strategies, because over the next 4 years, we're going to need a lot of new and creative out-of-the-box ideas and strategies. Right now, we, as AFSC, are prepared to provide this the resources that we have, the website Clearinghouse. We, if it's desired, we can set up a listserv and or Facebook group so that folks around the country who are interested in sharing resources and having conversations about these issues can do so. Lucy can probably share more about the Quaker Social Change Ministry, which hopefully some of you know about. That can be another vehicle to talk about Sanctuary Everywhere. We are also collaborating with another project within AFSC that is focused on Islamophobia, and we will be at some point ready to share training materials and videos related to that. That'll be great resources. We're in the process now of forming a national steering committee to talk about the direction of this work and also adding more resources to our resource list. And we're hoping that everyone who has filled out the registration form for this call, we will have your information. If you have not done that yet, then we can get you a link to that so that we can get your information if you'd like to continue to be in touch about these issues.
Yeah, that link is afsc.org/spiritedaction.
Great. So, yeah, so if you can sign up at afsc.org/spiritedaction, then we'll have your contact information to be able to pull together folks who are interested in continuing to work on this in an ongoing way. So let's see, what's next? I might have said some things Piper was supposed to say. Sorry.
Piper, do you have anything you want to add?
I think just, you know, that that in each of the sections under Sanctuary, you'll see, you know, under schools, one of the things that I think is as neat is that there's all different resources for addressing the different pieces we were talking about earlier. You know, the school to jail track, the how do you change policy so that it's clear that schools are not going to engage in any targeting that the federal government would ask them to do. And when you look at Sanctuary on college campuses, it's really intersectional and really about bringing forward the concerns of everyone who's attending college. The same with Know Your Rights. So see, there's immigrant resources, but also ones that come from the Muslim community, from Black Lives Matter. And so I think we hope to have as much input as possible from Native, LGBT, Black Lives Matter, all different communities, to make sure that we are making this a place where you can go and stop and find what you need without having to dig and dig and dig.
Great, thank you. And I think that I just wanted to I think it's an amazing resource, and it's something that we can. As both Lori and Piper said, it's a living document that we'll be adding to, and people will be testing things and discovering what's important and what might also be useful for this particular page and also for people who are trying to do this kind of work. And we're gonna, you know, they both said, we're interested in what you might know and what might be missing, what gaps there might be, so that we can try to fill them in and see if those things exist. We want to hear your reactions as you use this and hear about how you use it and have some sense of what's useful, what could be edited, what might be changed, and really have a real dialogue about that. I did want to mention one more thing about Quaker Social Change Ministry, which there's a lot of information on our website about that. If you go to afsc.org/QSCM, you can find out about that. But what it is a tool to spiritually ground a small group and practice spiritual practice together and really learn together about how to do effective activism in this time together. And it's really a tool for building community so that there's a resilient group of people that are doing this while you're companioning people who may be more targeted than you are. And you can find information there. So what we want to do now is invite you to hear your comments, your suggestions, your questions. Most of you are muted right now. And there are a lot of you on the call. There are over 70 people on this call. We're really great, glad that you're here. So the way that that I think this will work is if you unmute yourself, which is *7, to ask a question or offer a comment. And if you hear somebody else coming in doing that, wait until there's another gap or some silence. We don't have a way to raise hands, but I think this worked last month, and so hopefully it'll work this time too. So we'd love to hear your ideas and your thoughts and any questions that you might have. You can also tweet your questions to AFSC at AFSC, let's see, I think it's an underscore ORG, org, and we'll get those questions that way as well. So just unmute yourself if you have a question or comment. We'd love to hear from you.
Can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead.
My question is, if someone is in need of sanctuary, how do they get in touch with the people who are willing to help? You know, I'm certainly willing to help. I would even go so far as to harbor someone in my home if need be. But I don't know how they would find me.
So this is Jen Piper in Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
And are you talking about in terms of like if an immigrant was looking for sanctuary?
Yes.
Okay. So I think, you know, like I am really happy to talk with folks offline of this call about some of the things that we've been doing here in Colorado and other places around the country, and how that process usually works. And I can give you all my my email address and a phone number, because we know that there is some interest in kind of the traditional sanctuary we were talking about at the beginning of this call, but we also know that it can take a lot of time to talk through in an intentional way. So my email is jpiper, that's P-I-P-E-R, like the Pied Piper, at afsc.org. jpiper@afsc.org. And my phone number is 720-439-4409. And I'd be happy to talk with anybody and connect you to folks close nearby you who are interested in that work.
Thank you.
Hello, may I ask you to repeat one thing, please?
Yes.
The AFSC.org something in action. What comes before in action? I couldn't hear it.
I believe it was spirited action.
Oh, spirited action. And that's the URL for the calls for spirited action, and that's where you can find the link to register for this call, which will mean we'll know that your interest in sanctuary everywhere, and we can send you the resources we've already gathered, and we are going to send a form that will collect your information and about what you're interested in, so that we can better know your interests and your inclinations, and connect you with the resources that might be helpful for you.
Thank you. So it's afsc.org/spiritedaction.
Uh-huh, that's right.
Thank you so much.
Hi, I have a question.
Go ahead.
Great. This is Sarah from the Interfaith Committee on Latin America in St. Louis, Missouri. Thank you so much for all the work that you have done and for the resources you pulled together. My question is with respect to getting a network started in the city. Right now I feel like we're in a space where there are lots of conversations happening, but perhaps not all connected. What has been your best practices to link people, like a Google group or some other software platform, or maybe I need to even get more creative than that, to think about how folks can start by sharing what they're already doing, what they want to be doing, what they want to see done, so that we can really pull together all of these diverse expressions or iterations of sanctuary.
It sounds like you just created a great agenda for a meeting.
This is Piper. I totally agree. But go ahead, Lori.
Oh, yeah. No, I think for me, I think, and I've been involved in creating a few different coalitions, and at times like these, when there's a lot of people who are interested or doing things, I mean, what we've done is just literally get on the phone or in person or, you know, an email conversation with everybody you can, or just start making a list of everybody you can think of who might be interested in that, and set a time and a place and send an email around or call up the right people and try to get all the right people at the table, and then, you know, talk about all those things you just listed. And then certainly, you know, there's lots of, you know, details, like the Google groups work fine. And but I think just getting everybody in the same place is important. Again, for me, it's been really important for us to have conversations with folks who are directly impacted. It's sometimes hard. People's lives and schedules are different. So, I mean, we've done it lots of different ways, but I think sometimes those conversations end up happening separately. But you want to make sure that the work is, you know, you're doing the what the community wants. But just getting everybody together and sharing what's going on, who's interested in doing what, divide up into teams. That's how we did it in Greensboro. We got kind of contacted everybody who was interested that we knew of who was doing some of this work, and then we divided up into teams. But we had created some team ideas that we thought would be helpful, which some of what you see actually is reflected on the website. So it was, you know, city, county policies, K-12 schools, college campuses, congregations, you know, different places where we could see some of this work taking place. And then we asked folks to divide up and see where the energy was in the room, how they saw themselves working in what capacity. Piper, I'm sure you've got lots of suggestions.
I have a question.
Go ahead.
This
really
is Becky.
Quickly, yeah. Go ahead, Becky.
Okay. Does AFSC have a document of entitled something like Mixed Messages? As we gear up to do this work, are there some groups and things that we need to be cautious of because we might be enticed to come there and they might not really be working in our same interests?
This is Piper. I don't know if we have a resource like that, but I actually think that's a great idea for something that we could work on. In terms of, one of the things I love so much about working at AFSC is when the immigrant community wants to show up to folks who are working on prison justice, I can call up my colleague and say, this is the messaging we're thinking of. Have we missed something? Because we're just... we're not as deeply rooted in those communities, and they'll say, yes, you're screwing this up, or this would be better to say, or no, you're on the right track. And so maybe
or
we
even,
could look at, yeah.
Or
oh, go ahead.
Even some groups putting others at risk is what I'm, that kind of
sure.
research. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I think both of those are, they're not, in a one-stop place right now, but I think that's a great suggestion for something that could grow on this resource. I don't know what Lucy and Lori think, but that's that's what I'm excited about that.
This is Lori. AFSC does have a document called Mixed Messages. I think it's more about the narrative of violent extremism mm-hmm. in the media. I think that's mainly what that document deals with. But I think what
CEV.
You raise is...
Yeah.
Oh, go ahead.
The CEV. That, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Okay. Okay.
I think what you raise is an important question, though, and it's very challenging. I mean, there's... when we were putting out our information about Sanctuary Everywhere locally, you know, we were saying we wanted to stress that the... we're going to be looking mostly to focus on community solutions that are not that do not rely on law enforcement, because many communities who are being targeted law enforcement does not make them feel safer. Yet this is complicated, right? Because there's some of our partners in the Muslim community have worked really hard to build up good relationships with law enforcement in our area. So it is complicated, and I think it's something that you need to be conscious of, and there's no easy answers.
One of the things that question raises and the question before is just how using this frame of Sanctuary Everywhere has helped us start to bring together capture in one place the energy from impacted communities and be able to have those conversations in person and build those relationships so that we aren't throwing one community under the bus to get better policy for another one. And so I think these are really good points.
Great. Is there another question?
I have a question, or actually a comment.
Go ahead.
Yes, this is a voice from half a century ago. I had worked with AFSC during the Vietnam era, and there's a lot of experiences we had in working with people who were in legal jeopardy, similar to what folks are facing or could expect to face now. There were what one might call underground railroad networks, and to draw on the experience of a century before that, of those helping self-emancipated African Americans get to freedom, a very important principle to remember. It seems so obvious to me, but in our wired era or wireless era, we may forget it, is that anything that you commit to an email or say on a website, a blog, or even say on a wireless phone, you should assume that there's some likelihood that surveillance agencies may be listening in. And particularly if there's somebody who needs some emergency help, that is not the time to talk about it in email or put it out on your listserv. I appreciated the phrase a couple minutes ago about face-to-face conversations. Know who it is that within a few minutes you can come talk in person and not try to organize by email. Other people's safety is immediately jeopardized if you get careless about this.
This is Piper. I think that's we actually have a I didn't think about this first Sanctuary Everywhere, but we have our office did a training on kind of good like community culture that creates safety and some insulation from the types of surveillance that you're talking about or infiltration. And I think those are some of the resources, you know, like very basic things to think about. Not so much tips for what to do, but things to think about or ask yourself. And I think that's something else we could definitely share and add.
That's a great idea. Is there another question or comment?
Yes, this is Ruth Ann. I'm in Delaware. And I have a couple comments. One is, I love the map that the Pachamama Alliance made, and each person or group that wants to have a little hub can put themselves on that map. So when people are looking in a certain region of the United States, they click on that region, and then they blow it up, and then they see who is available to work with in the location where they are. So I would suggest looking at that map because it's super user-friendly.
Marcus?
I was also very happy to hear someone say something about natives because I'm working.
Just a second. Right. Can the person with the dog mute yourself? If you put star six, your call, your phone will be muted.
Star six. Thanks. Oh, not yet. Okay, so I've been working with the prayer camp at the Pilgrim Pipeline. It's very similar to Standing Rock, but not as famous. And they've had quite a bit of harassment, both from neighbors and from the police at the prayer camp. It's in Mahwah, New Jersey, and it's Ramapo Indian land. And, you know, a lot of people here in our region think there are no more Native Americans in this region, that everybody got shipped out or scooped up and disposed of. So when they started being harassed for having a prayer camp there, I wondered if it's possible to create a sanctuary site that's out of doors, that has no building on it. It's just a place where people should be able to feel safe. It's a prayer camp. So I wondered if anybody has thought about using that terminology with Standing Rock or other prayer camps.
This is Piper. A lot of the sanctuary resources looking at university campuses are kind of explore a little bit that expanding concept. And then some folks within sanctuary over the last century have really looked at not so much defining rooting the protection of sanctuary and property, but more the idea of a worship space, and used continual worship as a way to say this is a sacred space that should be protected. But I think there's room to be creative and to play and to push the boundaries of that concept. Were you going to say something, Lori?
Oh, yes, I think that's a beautiful concept, and I think we'd love to be able to incorporate ideas like that. And maybe we may need to explore how we better kind of generate or have a space that where people can explore ideas on the site. But just regarding the map, I also wanted to say that in some of our research, or one of our interns found a map that was actually a very useful map, but it was created by an anti-immigrant organization to identify where, you know, where quote-unquote sanctuary cities were, or places that were sympathetic to immigrants. But it was, I thought it was a really great and useful map for us.
All right. Well, my last question is, I'm very interested, probably for obvious reasons, about building courage and accompanying the fearful. And I'm not necessarily thinking of the new immigrants, but our family members and our relations, our good friends, our neighbors who are fearful as we do this work. So maybe there'll be some topic we could use for that topic. A space to explore how to accompany the fearful and build courage.
This is Lucy, and this is Quaker Social Change Ministry is probably a step beyond what you're talking about. I think you're talking about, you know, really meeting people who are, you know, operating from their fear and meeting them there. But I do think that it is it's a helpful framework for building courage for groups that are ready to take action, even if they may be fearful. And that question, I just really want to appreciate that question, because I think it's such a key question to this historical moment and one to really be considering. And I don't know if Piper and Lori have more that they want to say about it.
No, this is Lori. Just to, again, affirm the question, I really appreciate that. And it's something we can continue to think about.
Great, thanks.
Yeah, on the... I think that on the Sanctuary Everywhere page, there's also a some links to the AFST Denver office page, but our stuff is more focused on citizens who are accompanying immigrants, but I think a lot of the tips are very, you can transfer many of them in terms of how to listen deeply and be very curious about the root of our own community's fear of another community, and that those conversations themselves can be transformative when we're coming at them from this place of curiosity and concern instead of trying to convince. And especially on a one-to-one kind of somebody we have really deep relationship with. But I also really appreciate that question because I think it's so tempting to do work in another community when often the hardest work and the most important is in our own.
Yeah.
This is Susan in Greensboro. Am I still muted or?
No, you're not. We can hear you.
Okay. Yeah, there was an interest here in Greensboro in doing something like we did with the Occupy movement, which was providing nonviolent training, only this would combine nonviolent training with also listening and sort of interventionist kinds of things. And I think this is sort of an idea that's been mentioned a little bit before and is probably a widespread interest, but it also combines with the whole thing of people being shocked with the election and feeling like we need to talk with people of difference. There have been interest among other people in this kind of thing, and if so, what kind of resources people looking at?
Lori and Pepe, you want to try that one?
Hi, Susan. This is Lori.
Hi, Lori.
I think those are really great ideas, and I think that so far those are not many among the resources that we already have. But I think drawing on some of AFSC's work in other areas, that there may be, some links that we can continue to provide and some more links that we can make to some of those. And I don't know if Lucy or Piper have heard more of that, the desire for that sort of nonviolent training and listening trainings in talking to folks from around the country.
Yeah, this is Piper. We have been getting more requests. My colleague Jordan Garcia here in Denver has actually, I think since the election, done three kind of half or full day nonviolent direct action trainings. And what I think is also needed, and that it would be great to talk about together, is how to create a team of folks who can train trainers. So taking it sort of, we've been doing nonviolent direct action trainings for a long time, but thinking about how to pull together the people who've benefited from those and ask them to now go out and train themselves. I mean, train other people themselves. So I think there is a need for that and a desire for that, at least in Denver.
Piper, this is Lori. I will say I think that, and maybe Lucy can speak to this more, but through the work that's being done around confronting Islamophobia at AFSC, I think that I'm not sure exactly what that training includes, but there might be some elements of that.
Yeah, they've done piloting and they're starting to do the trainings in communities, and they're going to be doing different modules. And one of those is going to be, I don't know, what I'm calling conversational intervention training, but really to talk with people with curiosity and openness who disagree and really be able to add that piece. It's bystander intervention training and cop watch training. There may be, the nonviolent direct action training I think is important, and I hope that we can at least point people to, nonviolent accompaniment training, which is similar to bystander intervention training, but it's a little bit more like, you know, it's a little more intense. So I think all of those pieces, you know, at least I hope that we can at least point people to how to find out more information about all of that. It's not providing, you know, resources and training and guidance from our resource page itself. Any other questions?
Yes,
go ahead,
Lori,
and this will be our last question, and then we'll finish up.
This is Beverly in Charlotte, and I wonder if you could give us again the web address for Sanctuary Everywhere.
Sure. The address is AFSC, like American Friends Service Committee. So AFSC.org/Sanctuary Everywhere.
Okay.
And I just want to lift up really quickly some of the work that Beverly and some of the folks in Charlotte are doing, because they're again, stretching that notion of sanctuary and what that can look like beyond just harboring individuals in a congregation, but really looking at ways to accompany people who have been targeted, people who may be targeted for deportation, find ways to stand with those individuals. So I think that there are really great initiatives that are popping up all over the country. And in addition to making our website a place where people can gain some of these resources, I hope we can also develop ways where people can sort of lift up each other's work and learn from each other and gain strength, knowing that we are building these pockets of resistance and strength all over the country.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So we need to close up the meeting, but I wanted to make a few announcements and just refer to some of the things and where you can find more information. I really, really want to thank Lori and Piper. I think this is an amazing concept and a really important moment to have these kind of resources and ways to connect with each other. The resource that we've released today is the Sanctuary Everywhere resource, and Lori just mentioned it, but it's AFSC.org/Sanctuary Everywhere. We published that in the last couple of days. Go look at that and dive deep, take a look, see what's missing, see what's there. It's a lot of stuff there. If you haven't registered for the call, go to AFSC.org/spiritedaction. And we will be in contact with you to provide this information. And as this work moves forward, we hope to create ways for you to talk to each other, to be connected with each other, and also to provide more information. And as we have trainings to let you know about those, et cetera. I also wanted to say that we really are excited that you are all on this call and interested in getting engaged and standing up at this moment, which is really, really critical. This is how we get the world we want to see. And I also want to say that you're welcome to also contribute monetarily to this effort. If you want to support this kind of work, we would really appreciate it. Also, when you sign up, it's really easy to find out how to donate on our webpage. And if you want to target it to this effort, you can say you want it to go to Sanctuary Everywhere. We'd love to be able to support this work even more. Our next call, which will be in February, February 16th, the third Thursday from 8:30 to 9, is actually going to be about our anti-Islamophobia work, which is communities against Islamophobia. Mary Zirkel and Dina are going to be co-presenting on that call. We'll hope that you'll join that to find out more information as they roll that out. We really, really are grateful that you've been on this call and are willing to support building the world and creating the conditions so that we can have the world we want, especially at this time.